Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday at Fordyce in Bellevue, Predators training camp. Just saw our pal Nick Barnowski, a.k.a. Barn, coming through.
Don't start with the nicknames.
I will do whatever the hell I want to do, okay?
Language.
This is my game. Everybody want to tell me what to do? I'll tell you what to do. How about that? Let's bring. You know what? I'm fired up now. Let's bring in Dwayne. I don't want Chris. Bring in Dwayne today.
Dwayne?
I want Dwayne. How we doing?
I can't do it, man. It's a beautiful day. The weather's beautiful. I'm winning in silly underdog picks. I got a beautiful wife. I get to coach football. Dwayne can't come out today. We just got a lot to be thankful for, man.
Chris, I have gotten the pleasure to meet your lovely wife a couple times now, and I think you know this, and I say this with all the love and respect in the world, but you outkicked your coverage, my friend.
I sure did. It was 3rd and 7.
Hey, it wasn't a rush play.
But you know what, man? I know we're kind of getting off subject, but man, when you find that special person that you've been longing for, and then you go through some relationships that were bad. But when you find that person that loves you for you and is there for you through your good, your bad, and your ugly, you know, it just means something. And even away from that I get to get on Friday sports shows and talk to two great guys with you guys, it just makes my day go better. I know that sounds corny and cliches, but that's why I text you guys periodically to let you guys know how much I care about you guys, because I really, really do.
Well, we love it for sure, and look forward to this conversation every week. So,
yes, sir. Thank you.
Are the Titans looking forward to Sunday? They're 0-2. Packers coming in at 1-1. And look, you know how this works.
Sure.
1-2 feels so much different than 0-3. And that's really, to me, I think this team is desperate. Like, the desperation has set in. Now, they're not going to show it. They're not going to say it. But that's kind of where they're at.
You know, if you're 1-2, you can build off that. You start feeling confidence, and everybody has a little pep in their step. But if you're 0-3, you're going to start losing a lot of confidence, and then everybody's going to start making changes. Everybody's going to start looking at the quarterback situation. Everybody's going to start looking at the receiver position. They're going to start looking around to where they can get a spark and turn this whole situation around. Because I've been in a situation, even last year when I coached at Montgomery Bell Academy, we started 0-4. So now we're in the locker room, and we're trying to figure this thing out. But all it takes is one game. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. We were 0-4, and we were on the road to Ryan. We were playing Father Ryan. And Father Ryan jumped out 13-0. So now you're looking at the sidelines. You're 0-4, and you're down 13-0. Here's what you have to do. You got two choices: to get bitter or get better. And I watch people on the guys on the side, and I watch our coaching staff, as opposed to pointing fingers. Coach called everybody up and said, you know what, I don't care if we're down 13-0, we're going to go and win. The reason why I share that story is you got the same situation with the Tennessee Titans. They're 0-2. Everybody has questions about the quarterback position. Everybody's talking about the offensive line. As a coach, I got to look at my players and say, you know what, I don't care what the outside says. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the news says. We got to circle our wagons, and we got to go win this game against the Packers. And no ands, ifs, or buts about it.
Chris Sanders is with us. DeAndre Hopkins has played limited snaps this year. He only had 17 against the Bears, 29 against the Jets. And so he hasn't been targeted a whole lot. Yeah. He's got 2 catches for 17 yards in 2 games. However, he did say this week he's healthy, he's feeling good, he's ready to do whatever he can for the team. And Brian Callahan has said he's going to be the primary target on more plays. How important is that going to be to get Hopkins more involved?
I mean, it's very important because he's one of those guys to where even if you get tight coverage and even as a quarterback you get in a sticky situation, you just throw up the ball because 9 times out of 10 he's going to come up with it because, you know, you need a spark. I know Calvin really scored 2 touchdowns last week, which is absolutely outstanding, but you still need a spark for somebody to get this kind of season going. I mean, if you look at last year, you know, the spark they got going was when they played Atlanta. All of a sudden, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, catches 2-3 touchdowns, and it just propelled, you know, a couple of wins. So you got DeAndre Hopkins that's healthy, feeling good. You got to figure out a way to make sure he gets the ball. We know he's not going to take the top off the defense. We know he's not going to do those things, but just get him involved early. Give him a little screen. Give him a little bubble. Give him a little hitch. Give him a little slant to let him go out and make some plays, because if you get him involved, he just makes your whole offense better.
Talking to Chris Sanders. Chris, I got to tell you right now, and don't hate me for this, but I'm done on Treylon Burks. There's no effort. There's no effort, and I've seen it in 2 games. Okay. There is no effort. And you being a coach, sure. One thing all you ask your players for is effort. And, man, I don't think he wants to be here, Chris.
You know, it's kind of a tough situation. I know the play that you're talking about where he's got two defenders. I think in that situation, that's kind of a technique thing. He's a big body. He's 6'4", 240 pounds. He's got to catch the ball at the highest point. I mean, that's just what it is. If you're going up and going to get the ball, he let the ball get into his body, and that's when the defensive back kind of stripped it away. Now, to answer your question, I can't really search a man's heart on does he want to play or not, but I can actually say this. You never know what's going on mentally. You never know what's going on outside of football. I mean, look at the situation with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown said, you know, he was going through mental health issues, you know, mm-hmm. and he wanted to end his life. So you just never know what's going on the opposite of that. You know, sometimes we look at the exterior, oh, he's not giving effort, he's not doing that. And I kind of agree with you a little bit, but you just never know what's going in the mind of what, you know, Treylon Burks is going through.
I 100% yes. Because mental health is vastly important Absolutely. To us on this show. But if you're dealing with that, do your sure. teammates a favor Absolutely. And step aside. You know, Calvin Ridley
That's
did that.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Calvin Ridley did that.
You know, well, sometimes we got and you make a great point. I mean, I'm glad you said that. Sometimes you got to step away because a lot of people don't understand that us athletes, we feel, we bleed, we cry, we hurt. So when we look at stuff in the paper, you're no good, you're a bum, we don't want you, you came from Arkansas, you're a bust. When you start hearing that stuff, it affects you mentally. I'm going to give you a perfect example. My second year, my first year, I'm leading the NFL with yards per catch. The second year, I dropped two passes. And the same guy that they were cheering at was the same guy they were booing. So now I got to go home, and I'm driving home from the facility, and I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling like I can't make it over two passes that I dropped. So, you know, I agree with you 100%, but sometimes we just don't know what the man's going through.
Oh, I agree. Can you imagine going to your 9-to-5 job and your coworkers Jeez. Booing you?
No, you didn't sample that right. Go get my orange juice.
Boo. And the next day, great
you
job.
Suck, Sanders.
Chris, on that PowerPoint, great job. And then the next day, it's like, how could you do that? I get what you're saying. Because, you know, yeah. you know, Deion's sure. getting a lot of grief now for at Colorado. But Deion, when he's with Dallas, said something about, hey, man, they celebrate you 1 second and they hate man. You the next. And you've got to deal with it. This is not every job I'm making. That's a good point. He's right.
That is hard. It is really, really hard. I mean, like, I'm going to give you a perfect example, too, is I coach football. And 1 week, they're like, oh, you're the best coach in America. We just love you. We just love you. Next, you know, get him out of here. I mean, how do you handle the average person can't handle that. And, you know, when you're dealing with issues to where you got to perform, you got to do the right thing, your life has been scrutinized, you're always in front of people, we have to put on this face that everything's okay. And sometimes everything is not okay. Like in 1998, when I'm looking at the draft and they draft Kevin Dyson and then they bring Yancey Big Thigpen, and then on national TV, they say Chris Sanders is no good. So now I'm looking at TV and I'm sitting in my basement with tears in my eyes. Like, wait, I'm the same guy that made the all rookie team. I'm the same guy that, you know, averaged 23.0 yards per catch. I'm the same guy that had 9 touchdowns his rookie season, one of the best rookie seasons ever. But now I'm no good because I have one bad season. So that's the mental part of where it separates the guys that can overcome it and cannot overcome it.
So Chris, we talk about all the time, you know, a guy like Jeffrey Simmons that it doesn't always show up on the stat sheet, but if you go watch the tape, he is creating the opportunity for somebody else. Yeah. With all that said, though, I do want to see him get to the quarterback a little bit more. Sure. That's a credit to the offensive line that's preventing that. But do you think that there's still, after two games, another notch for Jeffrey Simmons?
You know, that's the difference between a guy being a really good player and a great player. I mean, if you look at Aaron Donald, he's getting triple teamed. But here's the kicker. He figures out a way to get to the quarterback. I'm not saying that Jeffrey Simmons is not a great player. He's a really good player right now. But when you're talking about the great, great players, I don't care if you're triple team, you're going to figure out a way to get to the quarterback. And I just think that that's what's stopping him. Now, yes, his stats are good, and yes, you know, he's a disruptor, and the stats might not show it. He's one of the best players in the league. But now when you get to the point to where you want to be the greatest of greatest, you got to start dominating the game. Yeah, you'll throw a guy around and you get to the quarterback once in a while. But when the game's on the line, the great players always rise to the top, and I think he has potential to do that.
That's a great point. Talking to Chris Sanders. Chris, I want to ask you something. Your 1994 Ohio State football team.
Oh,
listen, you had Ricky Dudley, Joey Galloway, Terry Glenn, Eddie George, Chris Sanders. All right. So I'm asking you this because
Mike Vrabel was he on that?
Mike Vrabel's on the team too.
Luke Fickle.
But you only have one football.
Yeah.
So how did you guys able to work in unison? Because what I'm asking is like I haven't heard any of the Titans receivers complain or the Titans nobody's complained about it.
Right.
So how did you guys balance that? I know you didn't win the national championship in 94, you had five guys who made it to the National Football League. Everybody. How did you balance it with other guys getting the limelight and the spotlight?
But you know what? Can I really be honest with you?
Yeah.
All that talent that you had that we had on there, you know the reason why we didn't win is because of selfishness. And you know what? It started with me. So if Joey Galloway caught one or caught seven passes in the game and I caught two, my lip is poked out. So we had a lot of that on the team. And I hate to say that I was a part of the problem. I was one of the guys, man, I'm not getting the ball. I'm not this, and then I'm getting mad. And next, you know, it trickles down, and then all of a sudden you get in the locker room and everybody starts bickering. If we would have said, you know what, I don't care if he catches a pass. I don't care if I catch none passes. Let's just go win this national championship. 1999, when I played with the Tennessee Titans, we had me. We had Yancey Thigpen. We had Kevin Dyson. We had Isaac Byrd. We had Joey Kent. We had a whole bunch of receivers. But you know the reason why we went to the Super Bowl? Because nobody cared who caught the ball. And if the Tennessee Titans receivers, which they're doing now, you know, I know Calvin really has caught, you know, a couple of balls here and there. But if you get to the point to say, I don't care who catches the ball, our whole vision is winning the game, I think you can go somewhere.
I love it. And that's the deal. How do you get that across? I mean, things are rough. You're 0-2. How do you get that across?
God.
Like, look, we are still one unit to go out and win this game on Sunday.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're going to find out, and I always say this to my players, there's two things, not bitter or better. This is another one I say, is you got a choice to trust in or buy in. A lot of people buy in. Buy in is because I have to. Oh, because the coach says you got to buy in, you got to be a team. But when you trust in, you trust the process. And I think as a receiver and as D-Hop and all the receivers that's not really catching the ball, they got to trust the process. What is that? What the heck does that mean? Because that sounds cute. Okay, I'm not getting the ball this time. I got to block a safety. I got to block a corner and make sure everybody else succeeds as opposed to me. So now when my opportunity comes and I trust the process, it's 3rd and 9, I need a play. I make the play. I score a touchdown and we win. Why? Because as opposed to you buying in because you have to, you trust in because you want to. That's what makes the difference.
Great point. Let me ask you this. This is kind of a serious question. Do you coach high school football because you fight demons internally? And by that, I mean you talk about making mistakes, about being selfish, and by a way of teaching and coaching these kids, you can exercise those demons inside of you?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. You know, and I never told this story, and this is the first time somebody's hearing it. When we played the Ravens in the playoffs, the week of that was when we lost. The week of Jeff Fisher came and asked me. He said he wanted me to switch to the third receiver. The whole time I was pouting. The whole time I was mad. The whole week I didn't practice hard because I was mad because they wanted to switch me to the third receiver. We get into the game. Guess how many passes I dropped? I dropped 2 or 3 passes because of my selfishness. So now when I teach these kids, I say, listen, sometimes you might not get the ball, but wait until your moment comes. Give you a perfect example. About 5 years ago, one of the players came in like, Coach, I'm not catching the ball. And this and that. I said, relax. Be quiet because there's going to be an opportunity where you're going to make the play. So we're playing MUS, and he didn't catch any balls. The game's on the line. There's 5 seconds left in the game. And he runs a comeback. He catches the ball. We win the game. You know what he says at the game? He grabs me and hugs me. He says, Coach, thank you for keeping me accountable. Now I know what you're talking about. That's why I coach.
There you go.
Lord have mercy.
Hey, this is why we love these segments with Chris Sanders.
So much, man. Thank you.
Every
God.
Friday. I hope your silly underdog pick loses, but I hope that NBA wins, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, I got to ask you a question. Guess who I saw yesterday?
Who?
Dave Craig.
I knew he was going to do that.
Did he hang out?
He did. The great Chris Sanders joining us here on the program.
Who was his pick?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I don't even remember now.
Who's yours?
I went. I don't even remember now. Crap. Because I was ready to read something, and now I've.
Oh, like, read it. 10:30.
Chase,
you
took
picks.
East Carolina.
Thank
plus
you.
Six.
I took. Yeah.
The, and Chris, who did took Chris New Mexico plus 14.
Okay, you took the Lobos. Yeah, I took East Carolina. Adam went with
who? Did Michigan Adam go with? State.
That's a good pick.
I believe it was plus 6.5 for him, and then Derek took 10.5 at Georgia Tech.
Yep. So those were our picks.
10:30 though. You're making your picks again.
Yep, I got them written down.
Do we have last week? Because I got to keep you accountable.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're doing pretty okay. good.
I don't want you to be a Bill Wickett and trying to back out of these things.
I will not. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. It is the pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 3 matchup against the Packers and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint, and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.